Good morning and welcome to the traditional service at St Andrew's Church today. Whether you're a regular attender, as it were, online, or whether this is your first time of visiting St Andrew's, a warm welcome to our communion service today. As this is a communion service, if you want to join in the symbolism of partaking bread and wine, you might like to have a bit of bread and some grape juice perhaps at home that you can use later on in the service. But nevertheless, feel that you can join in even if you're just symbolically joining in across the miles. God is with us today, which is a real privilege wherever we are. And I just want to introduce myself for those who haven't met me before. This is my first traditional Holy Communion service here at St Andrew's online. My name is Helen Wilkinson and I'm a member of the retired clergy here in Malvern, and it's a real privilege to be here. And one of the privileges that I've recognised in being here in Malvern is that we enjoy this wonderful scenery, and in particular the hills. And the hills always remind me of that wonderful psalm, Psalm 121. And we're going to open our service this morning with the words of Psalm 121. If you'd like to join in with me as the words come up on the screen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forwards and forevermore. Amen. A psalm of faith that reminds us of the faithfulness of God. And so let us pray together. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, as we gather in your presence today, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we ask that you will help us to pray to you in faith, to sing your praise with gratitude, and to listen to your word with eagerness, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you could join with me, if you are able, to stand to sing our first hymn of praise to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation.
So praise him, for he is your
as we are reminded of the goodness of God, we're aware of our own shortcomings. The psalmist says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." Lord God, we know that our hands are not clean, our hearts are not pure, but we thank you that your promise is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins together in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And so we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as God's forgiven people, we open ourselves to hear from his word as we have our Bible reading for today. It's the next one in our series from the book of Ezra.
Today we're going to read selected verses from Ezra chapter 7 and 8. We begin at chapter 7 verses 8 to 10 before moving on to chapter 8 verse 1, then verses 15 to 23, and finally verses 35 to 36. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. These are the family heads and those registered with them who came up with me from Babylon during the reign of King Artaxerxes. At this point, there is a long list of the different families that came back with Ezra, and then we pick it up again at verse 15, with Ezra saying, "I assembled them at the canal that flows towards Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people and the priests, I found no Levites there. So I summoned Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam, who were leaders, and Joiarib and Elnathan, who were men of learning, and I ordered them to go to Edo, the leader in Cassiphia. I told them what to say to Edo and his fellow Levites, the temple servants in Cassiphia, so that they might bring attendance to us for the house of our God. Because the gracious hand of our God was on us, they brought us Sherebiah, a capable man, from the descendants of Mahli, son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah's sons and brothers, 18 in all. And Hashabiah, together with Jeshiah, from the descendants of Merari, and his brothers and nephews, 20 men in all. They also brought 220 of the temple servants, a body that David and the officials had established to assist the Levites. All were registered by name. There, by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children, with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, "The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him." So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's orders to the royal satraps and to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, who then gave assistance to the people and to the house of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Chris, for that reading. And now we're going to hear from Durham, who's going to bring us God's word and help us to unpack what exactly is going on at this stage of the story of Ezra. It's been a real privilege to be able to look at this book together. So let's pray, shall we, for Durham as he comes to speak. Father God, we thank you so much for Durham. Thank you for the gifts that you've given him. Lord, thank you for calling him to be a reader here at St. Andrew's Church. Thank you for his work with so many in the parish. And we pray that today, Lord, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see fresh things out of your word as he explains it, that we might better live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning or good afternoon, whichever may apply to you. We are now carrying on in our study of Ezra chapter 7. And it's entitled Living Under God's Faithfulness. Approximately 40,000 of the Jews had travelled 900 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and altar, their centre of worship at Jerusalem, and also the walls that had been destroyed when they had been conquered and taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Now more were coming with Ezra the prophet to commence building the walls of the city and complete the furnishing of the temple under his guidance. His position in the Persian Empire was probably like a secretary of state to oversee the Jewish people. The king Artaxerxes himself was favourable towards the captured Jewish people, chapter 7 and verse 20, as had been Cyrus and Darius, due to God moving his heart. This could also have been because he was married to Esther, and through God's working, she had the ear of the king. And that was quite amazing that that should happen in God's planning. Isn't it amazing how God prepares the way in advance in his planning? We're told Ezra was a preacher, a teacher or scribe, well versed in the law of Moses, chapter 7, verse 6. He studied to teach the decrees and commands of the law to the people, as they may have forgotten much during their 70 years of captivity. I wonder if anyone here has lost touch with God because of our normal way of worship being unusually different. Do we find that we don't have the same regularity of wanting to come to God? Do we find that we have to make up our own minds and regularity rather than having it done for us? And do you think that when we eventually come back together again, we will value much more the fellowship of one another because it has been taken away from us? Ezra was also a leader of the people. I'd like just to read the verses from chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honour to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and has extended his good favour to me before the king and his advisers and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. The gracious hand of God was upon us. So let us have a look a little more closely at Ezra and see his qualities of leadership and what we may learn from this. First of all, we can say that he had faith in a faithful God. Faith in a faithful God. God was one who is trustworthy and keeps his promises. And Ezra put his trust in God for everything. He put his trust in God for protection from harm and danger on the journey. He put his heart and trust in the provision for all that he would be needing on the journey and in Jerusalem. And the amazing thing was that in his position before the king said that he could take anything that he wanted from his treasury, gold, silver, luxurious materials, whatever may be needed, and he could select whatever he required for their visit to Jerusalem and all that needed to be brought about. This is amazing how God provides in circumstances ahead of needing those provisions. It reminds me of the time when the Israelites were in Egypt and God had brought plagues upon them and upon all the Egyptian people and Pharaoh himself. And they were so fed up with everything that they dispelled the people from their presence. And in order to encourage them, they gave them of their jewelry, of their gold and their silver and precious stones in order to get rid of them. And you know, I believe that's how God provided the things that were needed when the tabernacle or the tent of meeting was built in the wilderness. Amazingly large tent. And this was where the people of God were to meet for worship. And God knew in advance of what he was going to provide. And so he was able to provide these riches, maybe the gold and silver, which could be melted down and used in other ways for his place of worship. It is tremendous when we read through God's word just how much God provides in advance of the need. And I think that's something that many have found during this time of lockdown. How God's provided in unusual ways through different people and brought about a blessing to others. That's our God. I know in our lives, God's provided many times. I can just think of one instance when we were living in a semi-detached Victorian in Highfield Road in Malvern, and we decided that the family was going to be hopefully getting bigger. And then the neighbour next door, who had built his own house in a more modern style, a very nice garden and a plot of land in between us, came and told us that they were hoping to move. Would we be interested in buying his house? And we thought about it and prayed about it and decided that it would be great for us as a family, and to have a plot of land would be good as collateral in our business. And so the neighbours said to us, we'll give you 3 months to sell your house. And if not, then we'll have to put it on the market. And you know, on the last afternoon of the 3 months, a couple came and said, I had a look round, and they decided to buy it. And leaving it to the last minute was almost more confirmation that God was in this. God was providing for our needs. So he had faith in a faithful God. Secondly, Ezra cared for the people. That's very important as a leader, as they needed guidance and protection. And we're told in chapter 8, verses 21 to 23, how he did this. He proclaimed a time of prayer and fasting, of humbling themselves before God, asking for a safe journey for all the people and their possessions. There was no pillar of cloud or fire to lead them, but God would care for them. He had promised that he would do this. And Ezra knew that the hand of the Lord was upon them. Even in case of banditry and being robbed or of disease or whatever could happen, he knew his trust would be in God because he cared for the people. But he decided that he didn't want the armed guards that the king would provide. He was happy and faithful enough in God to believe that God's security would be sufficient. And that's quite interesting, just as a by comment, that when we get to the book of Nehemiah, he made the same journey. He had the same offer made to him, and he agreed to have the army of the king go with him so that the people would be protected. So people think in different ways. God works in different ways, but the same thing is achieved. One is not less than the other. They're just different. And that's how God works in our lives. Ezra was witnessing to the people of his faith in God, and they trusted in him and in his God. Thirdly, as a leader, he was obedient to the law of Moses, or the law of God, in regard to worship and behaviour. In the verses that we read, it says, praise to the Lord, the God of our fathers. The God's hand is on me. He took courage and gathered leading men to go with him. They had faith in Ezra because they saw his outward dependence upon his God and were willing to trust and obey him. So we see in the life and actions of Ezra, he had faith, had care, and he was obedient. Does this not display the character of a true leader, a Christian leader? To have strong faith, to show care, and to show obedience. Strong faith to encourage others, being mature in the ways of God and life's experiences with its problems and decision making. being in touch with God, so important. Care over the people of God, like Jesus showed to those in need around him. He was not restricted or partial to any differences. They were all the same in his eyes. They were all in need. And he blessed them with that experience that could only come from the heart of Jesus. And obedience, living our life and making our decisions based upon God's word. And worship to our Saviour who has done so much for us, revealing God's love and forgiveness to us, that we may bow down before him repentance and believe him to be the Son of God who has lived, died and risen again for us. That we might understand the love and the sacrifice of God and the giving of his Holy Spirit to help us in life to obey, learn and trust and to live for Christ. Do you yearn for that kind of help and peace in your life? The only way of knowing true happiness and peace in our hearts is putting our trust in a Saviour God and putting our life in his hands. His perfect love casts out fear. It dispels the uncertainty. It gives us hope. We can trust in our God. He is faithful, and we can believe all that he says. And you know, once we've trusted in God and found his word to be true, then surely it makes us want to do it again, and then again, and then again. And that's how we begin to live the life of faith. Ezra lived at a different time, in a different world, but under the same God, with the same authority and love that we can know. It's different circumstances, but the same God, and he's the one in whom we can trust. There's a wonderful verse in Hebrews which I love, and I believe that just sums up what we were thinking about this morning. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We read there, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Even as Christians, we need to learn how to put our faith in God. We have to really believe that he is. He exists. He is as true as his word. He is real. Against all the different thinking and ways of our world. Trust in him. Believe that he is there. And for anyone that is listening and who is not sure of whether to believe in God, you can't wait for absolute positive proof apart from trusting in him yourself and knowing it in your life, as he rewards us if we earnestly seek him. That's the God who is the God of Ezra, and he can be your God, and you can know him and his son Jesus Christ even in this day in which we live. Amen.
Thank you so much, Darren, for all that you've brought for us. Thank you for that reminder of the faithfulness of God and how he is with us over in an overarching plan for our lives in the most trustworthy way. And it reminds us that because of the faithfulness of God, that old chorus still rings true. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And with that in mind, we're going to move into our next song, which is one that focuses on the faithfulness of God. Faithful One, so unchanging. God's faithfulness, we are bold to pray in his presence today. As we come to our intercessions, after each section in our prayers, I will say, Lord, hear us. And can I ask us all to join in together in the response, Lord, graciously hear us. And so we pray for the church worldwide, especially for those who are forgotten, the persecuted church, those who struggle with poverty and disease, Christians trapped in war zones. Please bring your strength, peace and healing to those who seek to live for you in difficult places. May your light shine ever brighter in the darkness. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the royal family and for all those in authority over us. Lord God, we ask for your strength and courage for the royal family in the midst of constant attention. Grant wisdom to all who lead and govern, whether at a national or local level, to rulers and politicians, to business leaders, those involved in the media, and to those in local government. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the local community, local hospitals and care homes, and all those involved in combating COVID-19. Please relieve their work pressures as the vaccine is rolled out. Give strength to all those involved in the health service. Give wisdom to the police and other public services. Help them to know how best to deploy their resources. And we pray especially for all those involved in education, for all who teach and all who learn, for support staff and school governors, and especially we pray for parents engaged in homeschooling at this time, that you will give them patience, kindness, and faithfulness as they engage in this stressful work. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who suffer. May your peace and hope surround all those who at this time are bereaved, and also those who, for whatever reason at all, are ill, whether at home or hospital. May they know that they are not forgotten. Form us into a caring and compassionate society with a godly desire to protect the weak. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We end our intercessions with the collect, the church's special prayer for today, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. God, our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief. Shine into the hearts of all your people and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So now let us share the peace of God together. Jesus said, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And so let us pray together. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning you have created all things, and all works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace the people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From then you raised up Jesus our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, He gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendour for which you have created us through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom and all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our closing hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's sing together. Mm-hmm.
hearts thine compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Finally, we close our service today with the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.